You're listening to a DM podcast.
Let's go on a trip.
Yeah, let's go on a trip.
Yeah, baby.
It's not too bad. What was the question again?
Okay, let's go. I'm Angela Caterns.
I'm Ian Rogerson.
And welcome to Suddenly Senior. This is a podcast series for those of us who've reached a certain age in life.
That's right. You can join if you're not our age, but it'll be a lot more fun if you are.
So strap yourselves in, check your blood pressure, light your spliff.
Pour yourself a small bevy and let's go.
If there's one thing we've learned making this podcast, it's that a lot of people prefer to avoid the topic of aging. But our next guest has made a living out of it. She is a gerontologist, Karen Curtis. Hello, welcome to Suddenly Senior.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Technically, you are not a senior, are you?
I'm 58. Close.
Right. So you're our youngest so far. Mm,
you're our junior senior.
Welcome aboard, Karen.
Well, thank you. I got involved in this when I was only 40.
Is that
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And how do you find old people?
Well,
do you get used to them? They always get in the way, don't they?
Well, look, I got into this because I was a health writer.
You were a journalist.
Yeah. And I got offered this opportunity to take on a magazine that had been for the aged care sector. And look, I'd been on maternity leave and I had kids and I thought, actually, this is going to be an easy gig. And actually, I found I loved it. I was interested in health, but it was much more than health. And it was much more than just aged care issues. And I kind of got really interested and I thought, there's so much wrong with aged care. So I kind of became quite passionate and launched this new magazine called Australian Ageing Agenda, which gave me this incredible helicopter view of ageing. But every time I talk to people, particularly other journalists, and they'd say, oh, so what are you doing now? Well, I'm editing this magazine called Australian Ageing Agenda. And they go, oh, okay.
Eyes glaze over, change
right.
the subject.
Exactly.
That's disappointing, isn't it, really? I mean, it's wonderful. You obviously found a passion for it, which many people just don't have.
Well, I could see that there was a lot of unfairness toward older people, and we're all going to be old.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, why? I could see that there were a lot of problems for older people, and that really it came down to the fact that we don't like older people, which Ian goes back to your original comment. Do you like older people? Because we've been...
Well, I think people are scared of older people purely because they think I'm going to be there one day and I'm trying to avoid it as best I possibly can.
But why do we think we have to avoid it? It's because we have this idea that being old is bad and being young is good. Whereas in reality, people, and you would know this yourself, you know, you don't feel like you're a lesser person. You're still the same person you always were. There are good and bad things about every age, including older age. And we have to kind of think about life as a life course, I think. Not kind of black and white, this is good and this is bad. It's good and bad. And, you know, like with every age, you roll with it. You learn.
Yeah. Have you travelled and sort of studied various issues around ageing in different countries? I wonder if there are any that are getting it right.
Look, I haven't travelled and studied in that sense. However, I have armchair travelled and studied because I've been very involved in the Australian Association of Gerontology. So you go to a conference on gerontology and you get everything. You get everything.
What, from the world?
We get everything from the world, but you also get everything from the way that the rest of the world and other parts of Australia are handling, you know, retirement income security, housing, urban planning, architecture, geography, health, attitudes to dementia. You know, it's absolutely across the board.
Technology.
Because that's gerontology, isn't it? You've got the bio-gerontology, you've got the socio-gerontology.
Psychogeriatric. You think of anything.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a spectrum, really, isn't it?
It is a spectrum. They say it's multidisciplinary. Mm. And that's what people don't kind of recognise. They think gerontology, they think geriatrics, which is the medical.
I must admit, I did too.
It's a common.
Well, that's why we're having this chat.
So go on. So tell us, what's the difference between gerontology and geriatrics?
Well, geriatrics, people who are geriatricians are medical people. They have a medical degree and they've decided to specialise in the older people, looking after older people, in the same way as a paediatrician is looking after children. Whereas gerontology covers the very broad spectrum. So it's the study of old age, it's the study of the process of aging, and it's the study of the challenges that society faces in dealing with or managing or incorporating and including older people. So policies around, you know, housing, transport, urban planning. That's why it's so diverse. You can't kind of separate it out. It's, you know, there's medical stuff, but there's a whole range of things.
Well, that separation that you were sort of alluding to earlier on, as far as people don't really want to know about older people, you know, unless they're really in it or they're getting to know it, is what leads to a lot of the problems, because everything isn't homogenised. You haven't got everybody together. There's this one section of society, older people, that everybody's trying to avoid in a way.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're filling out a form or something, you get these gradations of age groups. But once you get to 65,
that's right,
it becomes over. Plus. You're homogenous. You're just all the same. And in fact, I mean, that's one of the craziest things and one of the areas of policy that people are trying to change, because there's a very big difference between modern 68-year-olds and 98-year-olds.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, yeah. I mean, most people these days, we're very fortunate to live in a country like we do, where we have pretty robust, you know, financial security. We have a good pension that's been in place for a long time. We have reasonable housing. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we're doing okay. Mm-hmm. But I've lost the plot there.
No, well, that happens. Don't worry about it. That's what we do.
And she's not.
And I'm only 58.
Get used to it.
And I'm not going to say that's a senior moment, because that would be ages.
So let me ask you what you think is the biggest issue facing, you know, ageing Australians at the moment.
Look, I think the biggest challenge for everybody, and this is a real kind of message, I think, that we've got to stop catastrophising about this is not a single policy issue, but we've got to, as a society, get our heads around the fact that we're born, we're babies, we're teenagers, we're, you know, middle-aged. You know, there are life stages, and all of them are good, and we have to stop discriminating against a particular point in the life course and forgetting anything after 65, forget it. You know, you're invisible, you know, not interested. Because a lot of those policies and the fact that we have those 65-plus numbers, et cetera, they come from a time 30, 50, 80 years ago where people died. I mean, there's a reason why the age pension started at 65. It's because, you know, it was a pretty good bet that, people wouldn't be a huge impost on the budget. However, we are now living much longer lives, and we've got to kind of find a way to make those useful years, instead of, you know, we're not retiring, you know, after years of, you know, building bridges. I mean, some people might be, you know, but do you know what I mean? We're not, we now have this opportunity to reinvent another decade or two of our lives and have purpose and passion and do all the things that we wanted to do. And as long as we have a society that ensures that, you know, our bases are covered, you know, there's not, everyone doesn't age equally. And I have to tell you that, you know, your social class, socioeconomic background, education, plays into it. And, you know, there's a reason why people who are well off generally live longer.
It's funny, you know, you were talking about, you know, the age pension at 65. You were supposed to join the local bowls club, have a nice couple of years after you'd finished your work, and then hopefully something will take you off the picture. Now, you, as you say, you've got years to fill.
Yeah.
Is retirement probably not the right word people should be dealing with anymore?
Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who want to get rid of the R word because it's antithetical.
The R word. That's in the show now.
It is the R word. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are saying it's not retirement. It's a transition to a new age. And, look, I've just come back from a weekend of bush regeneration down at a place called Breadbow, down on the way to Cooma. Mm-hmm. It's a philanthropic thing. It's the project, the land was bought by philanthropy, basically. And all these people are down there. There was 10 of us. I was the youngest. No, I was the second youngest. But there were people in their 70s, and they're out there, and these are people who have been bankers and partners in law firms and stuff. And they are absolutely energised.
Isn't that great?
And they're out there on their knees, sleeping in the wool shed on a sleep. I'm not kidding. Yeah. One toilet, one shower for everybody. Yeah, and I thought, you know, this is not retirement. These are people who are actively lobbying.
Yeah, it sounds like fun too.
And yeah, contributing, still and making contributing, a valuable contribution.
And also recognising that they have made a contribution to, you know, the problems that we have with the climate and degeneration of our land, and they want to make up for that. So we've got to find new ways to live and to have purpose, because if you don't have purpose, and whether that's looking after grandchildren or
whatever,
you need something. Yeah. You need a reason to get up in the morning.
Are there any corporations, do you think, that are getting on board with the idea of you know, transition replacing retirement? I wonder how the corporate and business sector can contribute to this idea.
Yeah, look, there are some. I mean, I was involved with this ageism campaign, Every Age Counts, for 4 years and set that up. But what we found, and we were trying to kind of find some really good examples of corporations that were, you know, having good attitudes toward older workers and good progressive policies for transitioning to retirement instead of going, you should go watch out the door.
Yeah, that's right. Time's up. Off your pop.
Because actually...
Oh, is that the time?
I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it, that in a workplace you want to have the corporate memory, you want the older people who've got the history, you want younger people who've got the energy. You know, you want a cross-section of people. We found very few,
I have to say.
It was very hard. And in fact, you know, probably the more common thing is that you're finding people not getting promoted, getting kind of quietly ignored until they decide
slipped out the door. You know, it's an interesting thing, you know, that transition's a very important thing, but also have you found over the time, and I'd start off by saying you're sick of old people yet, is there also a mindset, do you think, that older people have to get into that isn't sort of like, oh, well, you know, people can see through me, I'm not relevant anymore? Do you think there's a way that they should be changing their thinking? The older, the elderly?
Definitely.
The senior?
Definitely. Mm. I mean, we are our own worst enemies. And that's the problem. And there's a whole industry built on denial. You can have injections and surgeries and all sorts of stuff to kind of keep up a pretense that you're not the chronological age that you are. And if we didn't have that attitude that aging is bad and, you know, old is ugly and young is beautiful, and then we wouldn't be so afraid of it and we'd accept it more. So, you know, it's a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard thing to get your head around. But I don't know. You just got to embrace it. You got to say this is a relevant, good life stage. And because if you embrace it, and you might have heard this figure before, but people who have a positive attitude to aging live on average 7.5 years longer.
Beauty. Right.
With better quality of life. And that was a World Health Organization meta-analysis.
And that's just attitude alone.
People who had a positive attitude, there were a range of different measures because it was a study that gathered together a whole lot of other studies, like a meta-analysis. But, it was very, very clear. And it was it's Yale University, so with the World Health Organization. Wow. So it's good.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And so, Karen, are you looking forward to becoming a senior?
I tell you what, I'm looking forward to changing pace a bit and being able to focus on doing some stuff that I want to do as opposed to just working all the time. I'm looking forward to having grandchildren. You know, whether that happens.
You give them back afterwards
that's
too,
right.
Don't you?
How fabulous would that be? I've got a big list. I'm one of those people that has a huge list of stuff I want to do. And, you know, work gets in the way. So,
well, the amazing thing is you've done all the research. You're more research than anybody else cresting into the senior age.
I do feel very knowledgeable about it.
Very well equipped.
Yeah, I'm always pulling people up. You know, say, don't buy that house. Too many stairs. If something happens, you won't be able to.
But so is there anything that you fear or dread about getting older?
Well, I think everyone fears losing independence, loss of mobility, dementia. Most people actually die at home without going into a nursing home. So stop worrying about being in a nursing home.
That's a great point.
Yeah, is that true?
It is true. It is true. The older you are, the more likely you are. But then, you know, the average length of time, I think, in a nursing home at the moment is something like 9 months. you know, in the last few years, it's been under 2 years mm-hmm. because people only ever do that, you know, when they require nursing care,
yeah.
you know. So most people are at home. We've got, you know, increasingly good support services. You have to accept support services. You have to not deny them.
Yeah.
Take them on. Take, you know, if someone's going to offer to help you with the shopping, do it, because then you can get the shopping done on your own as opposed to, you know.
Yeah. That's attitude again, isn't it?
It's attitude, mm. yeah. Yeah. yeah.
It's a strange one. When you start sort of delving into the world of the senior, your average senior, you start to realise that all the worry you have, and I think that's a great point you make earlier about not going to a retirement home, or a lot of people don't end up going to retirement homes.
Or nursing homes.
Or nursing homes.
Yeah.
You're going to be people worry about, how am I going to pay for everything? Apparently your biggest medical expenses in your life are usually spent in the last couple of months of it.
Yes, that's right. And look, you know, it's a slightly controversial area, but if you're, you know, you can, in most states now, you know, everybody should have an advanced care directive, and that's a really important thing to do, so that if you become unwell in a way where you can't make decisions for yourself, you need to be very, very clear, because you don't actually have to spend those, you don't have to have massive interventions, you know. I don't know how other people feel differently, I know, but I'm kind of acknowledging that there will be a time I'm going to die. We all die. We're all dying.
Yeah.
We're all dying from the minute we're born. And, you know, you can make a decision about that. You do have some control over that, ideally. You know, we have a good health service. So
I want the full Viking funeral. I want to have a lot of loud music and, and, you know, the drugs of my choice, please.
And start planning it now.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah, book the venue. Let's book the venue,
Josh. Book the venue, write the speeches, get the soundtrack organised.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we've depressed ourselves completely.
It's not depressing.
It's not depressing, really, is it?
So, Karen, I wanted to ask you, what's the right terminology to use here? I mean, is senior as good? Are we allowed to say elderly or old people? What are the politics around this language?
Look, it's really controversial, actually. People have quite strong attitudes. I say older people. I would never say the elderly.
Yeah.
Because the elderly is like saying the youth or
women. Yeah.
You know, it's very sweeping. Mm. And, you know, older people are as diverse, if not more diverse, because they've had many more experiences than anyone else. Older people are so diverse, even within cultures and, you know, super diverse. So, you know, you can't kind of say, oh, this is what the elderly are like, because they're all different.
Yeah.
What was the question again?
Yeah, what's the term?
Oh, yes, the language. So,
the seniors. Terminology.
So, you
that's
know.
That's the second one.
That's the second one, yeah. See, my hard drive's quite full. But the word seniors, a lot of people like, and I know that's the title of the podcast, but then, you know, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of that word, because it's become kind of a bit hokey, and also it kind of implies that it's a higher order.
Yes.
That was what I
was
thinking
about.
That's
why we like it.
I liked it too.
See, I like to think of everyone being equal.
Yeah, what about elders?
Yeah, but I think...
Do we like
elders?
Elders
is controversial from the point of view of a lot of...
First Nations people.
Yeah, First Nations people all over the world who... there is a particular meaning associated with being an elder. I just say older people.
Older people.
And Ashton Applewhite, who I would encourage people to listen to her TED talk, it's very good on ending ageism. But she has, it hasn't taken off, unfortunately, but she is very strongly of the mind that we call people youngers and olders.
Nice.
Okay. Youngers and olders.
That's lovely.
So, and that kind of, you know, it covers the spectrum then. So you haven't got old and young, you know, because where do you draw lines?
Yeah, that's true.
There are no lines.
It's hard. I think we're sticking with suddenly senior, though, because suddenly older. It hasn't got the same ring.
No, it hasn't. And also, you can use it slightly ironically. You know, I'm a senior.
How did that
I
happen?
Can get a senior's card. Yeah,
Karen, I wanted to ask you, do you have a favourite older person? You mentioned Ashton Applewhite, who I'm going to check out on YouTube. But I just wondered if there's anybody who you see as a wonderful example of an older.
Well, look, there's a guy called Mike Runge, who I met many years ago, like probably nearly 20 years ago, who used to be the CEO of an aged care group in South Australia. And he was so impressive because he was different. to everybody else, very smart. And his whole raison d'etre in his job was to make aging better. That people had to have a good life, mm-hmm. regardless of any impairment that they had. And he kind of was quite transformative.
What about personally? Anybody in your family, for instance, or a neighbour or someone who or impresses you as an old person?
Podcast host or, you know, really anybody. Yeah.
Well, actually, someone you interviewed, Anne Ring.
Oh, yeah. Anne's great.
Yeah, so I met Anne about 5 or 6 years ago, and I admire her enormously. She just ignores age, and we have lunch, you know, every 6 months or so, or even more frequently, a few times a year, and I really look forward to those times.
Yeah,
I think she's fantastic.
And she's just written a book, hasn't she?
Don't ask me what it is. I could probably find it.
No, but she mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah, she did.
Mm. Yeah, she did.
Okay. Go back and listen to episode...
Blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Insert episode number here.
And so just tell us, Karen, what are you working on at the moment? Are there any exciting projects or stories in the pipeline that we could keep an eye on?
Well, I'm looking at a couple of roles. I figure I've got one big job left back in me.
Mm-hmm. In this, working in this space?
Absolutely in this space. So everything I do is in this space. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I've always worked for about the last 20 years.
Mm. Are you the youngest person working in this space, as we keep saying, you know?
Look, I'm not actually. Aren't you? Yeah, I've been talking to some journalists in South Australia that do a couple of mastheads in this area. Mm-hmm. And they're much younger. I mean, I had an editorial meeting and met some of them the other day, and they were like pretty much straight out of uni. They've done a bit of regional journalism, and now they're people in their 20s. And the bosses are kind of in their 40s, I guess. Mm. But look, I think there's a lot more interest.
Well, it's all about getting awareness going, isn't it, really?
That's great.
That's what makes it work.
Yeah, that makes me feel very positive. Thank you, Karen.
I think there's a lot to be positive about.
Excellent.
Don't let anyone tell you that it's all bad, because it's not.
Great.
Well, you've turned me around, I'll say that much. Karen Curtis, what a pleasure it is having you here.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for coming and hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks, Karen. All the best.
Thank you.
Please like and also subscribe.
Thank you for listening. I'm Angela Caterns.
I'm Ian Rogerson.
Leave a comment, as long as it's nice. If it's not,
that's right.
Fuck off.
Yes. See you next time, Ange.
Bye.
And I want wine with my meds.
Yes, that's right.